here, just quick, explanation or embellishment of what your concerns, start with Steve.
Well, obviously, the project manager situation he's got.
Okay.
Speaks for itself. Outside competitors, I'm wondering if Fred, is taking them seriously enough, if he feels like they're not gonna be a problem, really, are they gonna stay and be an ongoing, problem as far as keeping and gaining market share, that sort of thing? And the fact that the Home Depot situation is not profitable at this point.
Okay. Anthony?
I'm gonna talk about leisure time, trying to increase that, so, keep bringing up the guilt factor, leaving early, about leaving the office early to get away, feeling guilty, the guilt issue. PICP market, how big will it be in the next 3 years, where you think there's opportunity there? And then, really, what three things distinguishing now, I wanna hear from you, not written, and then 3 years from now, what's the three things that are gonna separate you from your business, not from your competitors?
Abel?
The estate plan has, probably needs to be reviewed, it hasn't been, it was from 98. You'd be surprised what's in it if you read it lately. Your physical exam, you're probably due for another. And, improve the company image.
All right, gentlemen, sense of time or lack of it, just go with, I think she's saying she feels like you just go with the flow rather than control your time. Put a definite time in place, timeline in place for finishing the beer truck plan, that's the state plan. Analyze Home Depot relationship while keeping. Lou?
Before you build a modular home development, you need to research them. I don't know anyone that's making money on it. Costs more than stick build. And in order for you to grow, I think you've got to work on getting depth in your organization. And you need to focus on private colleges too, not just public universities. And because of the quality of your work, I'm saying look at the repair side. There's a lot of repair work needed on those sidewalks every time there's a utility job. And they need quality people for that.
Okay, I put mine up. Sense of urgency. Some of this stuff seems like it's been saying the same thing for 2 or 3 years without a sense of much change to it. Things like, well, and also the this permeable pavement. It seems like it's a great opportunity, but you just kind of spin wheels on it. I mean, you have some plans, but not much. Use of time. You've had Eric for a year, I guess, and but you're still saying you're still looking. I don't see the impact on what on you yet. So if it hasn't happened by now, when would it happen? Strategic direction, just kind of all these, where are you going? You're still asking the same question you asked a year or two ago. Should I go into some of these other businesses or not? Should I expand or not? I'm going to do residential, but you haven't yet. Scott?
The first one, I guess, is very slow growth. You mentioned the 3% growth rate. That's barely enough to keep up with inflation. And nowhere near, you mentioned national is running like 11.5% growth on paper sales. So it seems like way below the national growth rate increase. Need a plan for residential sales. Residential sales, I think you said, were about 75% of the market if you're not there. And I just thought you need a plan. And then management team kind of echoes some other things. But one more I just want to mention, just in looking at your financials, I didn't have a chance to do that until now. Your receivables, 937 on 3 million sales.
Like 110 days.
Yeah.
It's just we've had we've just started really getting our revenue the past.
How do you pay a bill that the AR so high and the AP so low?
It was just the past 3 months, like 2 months. I mean, we've been losing and not really making the profits and others now.
But that's the shortfall?
Yeah,
we can just pay out a credit line or something?
No, we've had the cash to pay.
Okay.
We've had the cash to pay. I mean, it's just the market's just started, where it started to crank up for us. I mean, prior to 3 months ago.
What's your terms on your materials, I think, sir?
Oh, what are our terms on?
You paying in 30 days?
60 days.
60 days, that's what's helping.
Yeah, we couldn't pay it.
We pay in 10 days, that's what hurts.
I guess you're saying, what's the total receivable?
Okay. They're 937 on 3 million in sales.
Okay, so it's really about the last, it's really more like 60 days, because he's so close to that in the last 60 days.
Yeah.
Well, that's more what it is. Another thing, too, we have to retain it, and I've got a lot of retainers in there. This retainer backs up and it's in that number.
Okay, so we're ready for Steve. Steve there. Smith.
Put that name personal time. You may not realize how much you say this. I just don't have time. I just don't have time. I've never had time. It may just be a habit. I don't know, but I'm saying time number one and number three. I said the same thing to Anthony. Don't, because I'm an old man, don't play around with your kids, grow up in front of you, and then you sit there and go, gosh, I wish I went to Carolina Beach with them. Wish I'd had fun. It really don't matter how many papers you pay. You're old and you don't know your kids. And I'm with Scott. It's going to be tough to grow this business unless you get into some residential. What did you say, 3 million square feet in all of North Carolina? It's going to be tough to grow this business.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand. Is there only 3 million square feet in
North Carolina?
The market's growing, but the fastest market. And that's a little bit thrown off. Let's say the 11% market.
Okay.
A lot of that's sold to just people who buy for themselves, so their awareness is increasing.
Well, what is the market in North Carolina?
What is the market?
I did have a handle out of that, but I know it's
how much of that
just, is
that?
Roughly speaking, that's a question, just to clarify this. The way you define yourself being a hardscape company and the region you operate in today, what market share do you have in that market?
We probably have 50%
of that market.
Okay. In commercial market, we probably have higher.
In the, what geographic area?
You're
doing 50% of the payers?
50% on commercial.
That's
and that's in a little bit of probably some assumption. I think it might be higher than that.
How many million square feet? How many million square feet is on the trial?
I'm not sure. I haven't book studied it. I did not prepare look it up for this time.
3 million in the state of North Carolina. You did mention that.
3 million square feet.
You've done sold in North Carolina. You said you have a 5
that's
to 7.
That's probably
seven.
A little bit of an older number. But.
Okay. Right here. That's we have true. Estimated the paper market in North Carolina to be 3 million square feet.
Yeah. You have 5 to 7%. Maybe about 200,000 square feet a year.
Yeah.
I'd say let's not get lost in the numbers. 50% market share for his primary market, I think it's
pretty good.
It's 150,000.
Let's go to Shale.
Yeah, so first is to have this clear business strategy. As you were saying, those same questions I think Fred has been asking need to have a clarity and execute that. And fundamentally, what I see is the way he defines himself as a hardscale company, that's number two, build a local brand, leveraging your expertise. You know, that's one of your differentiators. You're a knowledgeable, educated person, and build a brand, hire the right staff, in that order, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. I hear you talk a lot about building your image and what I think you need a plan to build your image, or maybe a plan for marketing and selling your product. One was just to make your lobby, enhance your lobby. There must be a lot of things you thought about that enhance your image. You talked about that. And then, like Bill said, penetration of the worst concrete market. We talked a lot about it, but that's see it.
As far as I know, just to answer that question, we've just gotten in all of it here.
Oh, has it really?
Strategies working. I'm not a part of that strategy. I just got it right now. We're waiting for rule changes to occur, and we're tied in with NC State University. So I'd love for it to go faster, but I've got the regulations out. Until they go in place, we can't make it.
All we can do is educate people when they have opportunities, and they can
specify the stormwater regs for parking lots.
But we are active. We're working behind the scenes on that.
And do you to grow internally? Your line, do you have the capital to grow internally? You have a credit of $100,000. You need to ask the bank for a larger line of credit.
Yeah.
Seems like
I could ask for them. I hadn't felt like I needed it. Yeah.
That's what
I always ask for it when I don't need it.
Yeah, there you go. Get all you can get.
Because
you
can use it. You know you don't use it. Ask them.
So when you need it, you can't get it.
They'll probably give it to the owner now.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I have a few clarifying questions, and then I've got like three of those that I can just. It's on a tape, so I can just.
Keep going.
Your staff. It's you, your sister, a booking person, or
part-time,
a project manager, and not even a superintendent anymore, right? You got like five or six more. Am I correct?
That's right.
Who does all the sales?
My sister, the estimator, and then we have used the project manager has done some sales, and I do some sales.
Okay. First thing, you need a salesman other than your sister. You don't know what you can do. One estimator can do six. You can do another $3 million next year. You don't know. The other thing is we need to know how much pavers are happening. Like a typical GC, how much paperwork does he do? And I can tell you how you find that out. You ask him. How much paperwork do you guys think you have to go through here in a year? See what percentage you're getting. Put that person in some competition with your sister. You know, sisters are hard. You know, she's working all she can work, but you don't know. You need someone.
That's a good idea.
Excellent idea.
Against her.
One of the things that we are measuring, the work that we get and the work versus the work we lose.
That's excellent.
Which has come out of tech, I think. You even suggested that. So that's one way we know how much, the market we have.
I'm just going to list these off, and then you can.
This is a very good.
You're somewhat like me. You got to create that. You're actually in a better. I think, in my opinion, you're in a better position than I am. Because of the technicality of your pavers, but create value with the end user and promote this value. Your end user is the architect and the owner. And I don't know what your value is, but here's what I think you could probably research it. You have to get them to switch to this paver thing, this environmental thing, big, over concrete. So you need to show them on paper the cost of the paver, the cost of the concrete, and where they are going to win. Financial in the end. He knows a whole lot about it. You can't cover up so much. You can have a bigger building because you use pavers and you're not all that.
And the lifecycle surface.
You could really put together a plan and it would be a no-brainer. That architect would respect your product every time. You could. So that's where I would spend my technical, and you would create work for yourself. The other thing is, she said something about universities. I see this as a huge. Every time you put a paver project in, you should find out who the facility manager is, and he's got a maintenance contract right then.
That's
if
right.
Nothing else, he calls you every time he's got a problem. You don't have a GC involved anymore. You're going direct. Your profit margin is going to be.
And they have a problem every day.
Well, we did have that with NC State.
That's
great.
That's great.
And we did have that with you said private schools. We did have it with Peace.
There's 90 private colleges in our state.
And this is it. This is my last point.
Okay, but the theme of all this is your answer is we've got one of those. I think I'd be speaking for the group and was up here. You haven't gone systematically after stuff. So you've got Peace, but what about the other 80? Nobody said we're going to see what we can do with the other 89. You've got NC State on maintenance, but nobody has said we're going to make maintenance a profitable part of our business. So it's being proactive and having a plan and setting, assigning people and going after them.
This is my last one, and this is not really that big a deal. I just think it would help you. On this financial statement, I think you need percentages beside everything. I don't really know how you do your burdens, but up in your – any cost you can put in direct is going to help you. But, if you put the burden percentage in up there as a percentage of labor and then you credit everything back out in your indirect, I don't really see how that works. That actually, we can do this later on just so I can show you how we do it if you're interested. But percentages beside everything, and then I'd also have, like it's May, I would have May, and then I would have May a year ago, and then I would have year-to-date, and then year-to-date a year ago, and watch those percentages and see what's changing. It'll help you on the tracking.
I wrote that down as a note to have comparisons. I ran these myself last night, and I didn't have anybody. Charlene being out, I'm a little bit lost. So.
And I think I said this one other time, and I'm forget everything I just said. If you're going to do anything, hire an estimator. Your problems will be gone. You'll be a $6 million company next year. You will never, ever do more work until someone gets you more work. You don't have to. You don't have to go out and hire field employees. The best place I'm in is when we've just got so much work and the superintendent's about to quit because he can't find anybody to do it. That's the only way you're going to grow. And people that are really good at putting it in, never ever overcommit. If you never ever overcommit, you never grow. So if you've got a salesman out there competing with your sister, it'll be fun too. Selling work for you, you'll have to hire more people. You'll have to have more foremen because you got to get to work. That'll be my.
So you're saying hire a salesman or hire an estimator?
If she's handling Clancy, and I don't know how it works, if she's handling Clancy and Thays and Brassfield and Gore, I don't know how many you got. I'd like to even know that.
She actually has to handle all of them.
Okay.
All of them, I mean.
Well, I wouldn't upset her. If she's handling them, that's fine, right? But I put him on 6 new contractors you never even know of until I go out there and sell your product.
They've stolen the whole town.
Well, they've come back to us because of our Valley Crest left town now. So they're back.
I mean, they came
right
in
there, right
here.
They've come in with us. And
just hire your salesman estimator and the rest of that stuff you're talking about. Take care of yourself.
Actually, she is so good at what she does. Her ratio is like great. She's good.
What's wrong with doubling that?
Nothing's
wrong.
Yeah,
what's wrong with
that? I guess that's what I want to hear.
What if she gets sick or goes out?
Well, we did. I don't want to act like I'm doing everything because I'm not. I'm listening to you. But I did take a person who was within. We did move her to be an estimator. But Debbie is training her, and I feel as though she could pull her along a little better than she is. But she is doing in-house estimating. So I do have.
I'll be quiet. I think he's wanting to go. If you're doing that, I would set a time. You said you got someone training. Here's what I would do. And I would set them both down because what happens with my guys is they just push that guy down. I mean, I would say, okay, Debbie, you got a year, 1 year. Everything that this person, that the trainee's doing for you, you're getting credit for. She didn't get credit for anything. Whatever you want to use her for, but you better train her. Because within a year, I want her to have a separate sheet. And I want her out on her own selling work after a year. But you're still responsible, Debbie, because I'm not going to have, she's not going to come to me and say it was her fault we lost money. You're going to review everything she does, but you're going to get credit for her sales. After 2 years, she's on her own. If they can't do it in 2 years, they don't need to be there anymore.
That's a good way.
And then it gives them both a set time. The guy that's training feels like he's going to get somewhere in 2 years. And Debbie don't have no choice but to train him because you told her she had a year in 2 years.
Right. That's a good point. Very good point.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that back.
Is Courtney capable of being external salesperson along with the estimating?
It'll be harder for her. I think, I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's a man's world still out there.
Well, I mean, Debbie's a little
harder. Right, but
and
she's
Courtney's
kind of kid.
Yeah, that's right.
I hired a general contractor, project manager, and trained him to estimate. Hire an estimator in another. Hire an estimator in my industry, or an estimator. I mean, it doesn't. They have the relationships. They can sell. It's all about relationships.
It's all about relationships.
It's got a relationship with these contractors already, and just teach them to do what you do. So it shouldn't be that difficult.
Are they busy residential? Home builders and trying to get that market. I don't really want every residential home builder.
You want a large
home. You want a large. It's very difficult to work with these small home builders. I mean, we do those that come to us, but that's I cannot make money on a 200 or 300 square foot sidewalk.
Now, Fred, you're in more. You got it more than the AGC plan room, right? You know, there's 5 or 6 of them around.
Well, we are primarily using AGC. But I mean, I'm aware of the other ones.
Reed Bulletin.
We have not had to really subscribe to them. And I have other people that will forward me information when that one is going to be, but I just pay for the one plan room.
Well, the legislation just allotted, I think, $3 million to the Wilmington Court for a crane. So they're expanding that court. So you need to go down top of them.
Okay. Good point, I think.
How does pavers compare to concrete? Just curious.
Well, it's about 4 times more, 3 to 4 times
more. Oh, it is that much more.
Yeah, he's only going to sell it through life cycle costs.
That's right. Life cycle costs, you're talking about down at the ports, yes.
Or anywhere else.
You need to have that or numbers where you can just recount them right off. So
it's when it's more attractive.
It's when they've got utilities underneath it.
You were talking at the same time. Brian, what was the last thing you said?
What I'm saying is that you need to figure all that out and then teach your salespeople. And you should be able to recant it right off. I mean, it's like, this is why you use pavers. Boom, 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 boom. And this is how long it's taking to get your money back or whatever. These are the reasons you use it. And then focus in on the people that really need it.
Part of that formula that you mentioned, Brian, you know, if I'm looking at a 10-acre track and I'm getting beaten up on impervious surface issues and retention times and detention, nitrogen runoff, all that stuff like that, this paver stuff could be a home run for you if you market it right. Because we're always struggling to find better ways
to retain, and the quality and quantity issues are so critical. But if it's four times what it costs you to pave asphalt, you know, there's a formula here that you need to work on. And I think that, and that's going to be the wave. I bet over the next 5-10 years, the municipalities are going to start preaching it more. And to boot,
you're talking about the permeable pavement.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you what I'm doing on that, just to bring you up to speed, because I've told Greg we've actually made very good headway on that. We have a whole neighborhood where in the Swift Creek subdivision where it's being put in. They put in the porous concrete and people are very upset. They've ripped out driveways and we put material in. But the problem is right now, and it's a regulatory problem, and I'm in the process of getting the rules changed, but we're having tests done. NC State is doing the testing. I've been able to get funding from our association, and I'm getting the results, and I'm working with a professor over at State, and he is helping me change the rules so that we are right now treated as a proprietary product.
What's the rules? What's preventing you from just...
Well, the one problem also with it is just being in a clay area. So it's going to be harder to get permeable pavements accepted in, say, in this particular region. Counties that are...
So they may not see the benefits of it because you've got a clay base that's on...
That's right. So we still have some issues. Not perfect.
I think that's
The town of Chapel Hill, every house that's built cannot add a drop of water runoff. They're doing it every house.
Yeah, so, and I have gotten a recent call on in Chapel Hill.
Well, you ought to be talking to Chapel Hill builders.
How are they holding it now, Lou?
Huh?
If they're not holding it through, you get runoff from roofs, is it just...
Yeah, it's a real pain. It's real expensive. It's where they do the driveways. They have permeable driveways.
Anywhere they can...
And holding retainage ponds, they're having infiltration fields.
We've got a neighborhood, there's not a driveway there that's less than $25,000.
Yeah, it's expensive.
That's in the Swift Creek.
They're desperate.
Well, that's a great market for you.
Yeah, I probably need to go work.
He's a whole other sales of that.
Yeah.
Who knows that all day?
So it gives you a foot in the door experience that you can show everybody else
every
what you're doing.
I was really waiting for this regulatory change to come out, because what we're also expecting is that we're going to get reduction water quality improvements, nitrogen reduction in the water. And that'll really be a boost if we can get that. And that way we can maybe get around where we might not be as permeable, at least we've improved the water quality.
But you're waiting on that change, or do you need to wait?
Well, I need to wait. I'll have to, we can start telling people about it, but municipalities have to start accepting it. It's a state, the state's going to have to change their regulation. It comes in under the BMPs, best management practices. And so once
Chapel Hill is doing that, why wouldn't that be a great market for you?
We could. If the township is actually will accept it.
Yeah, you got to talk to the plan reviewers and stuff.
But they're pretty close to accepting it.
Well, no, they have to do it. It's just whether they'll accept his particular material or not.
Okay, but they're doing some of it. So
they're requiring it now. It's just what they use to make it permeable. And what he's got to do is get his tested and recognized by everybody as meeting the minimum permeable.
And I just got the test like 30 days ago, official.
But can you just buy the material that they've accepted and install it?
No, not because we would. They probably don't. I don't have
Well, a lot of the stuff you don't do, the asphalt.
The asphalt. And
it's probably a certain kind of asphalt for.
Yeah.
But our product's better. There's no question it's better.
So you're waiting to get that approval in the next 12 months, will happen?
I would think so in 12 months.
Well, it seems like you better be prepared, because that can be a hell of a wave. More people are leaning that direction.
Yeah, do you sell it to large builders, or is there somebody in each municipality you get down by? Like in Chapel Hill, would you go to the person?
Well, they need to make sure they will be approved by the
I did go meet with Kerry and met with the fellow there, and he was just an ass. Just a total ass about it, and said, this isn't what, so I just backed off at that point, because all I could do was show him what I had, and he was telling me, this isn't what I want. So I just thought, I was waiting for the test results. We have those, so now I can walk back in with something a little more forceful, a little more, and we'll have tests. We actually have testing going on in the Swift Creek market area.
Are you confined to a geographic region where it'd be harder to sell something like that in Wilmington?
No, it's going to be easier. That's going to be
where it's located, but you have to travel and get your trucks down here and do the work.
Well, geographically, it makes it a little bit harder, I guess you could say, but I mean. But if it really takes off, we can certainly do open up an office or hire somebody to work that area. but we expect large. I don't want to dwell on this.
Yeah, I think they're kind of three or four themes through all this.
I'm making good progress there. I'll report back to you on that.
And let's do one of these themes at a time. And to me, the themes are sales and marketing, build the company image, build the brand, all that. We've been talking some about that already. Second theme is strategy, all these options, where are you going?
Let me just get a little more altitude, yeah? Because in your comments, Bill, I thought were very important to you about Fred. You know, at the end of the day, how much do you really want to grow?
That was going to be my question.
And I'm looking on here, my question is your high water marks, the history of you've been involved in the company, what's the most annual sales you've ever done? And
let me say this, we are $3 million right now for the year. I mean, we're gonna break our record this year.
As far as what?
Yeah, when we've been running flat for 2 years. I mean, the market's been very stagnant, but we're making really big headway this year.
What's the most revenues you've done in 1 year?
About 3.2.
Wait a second. I see a bigger number up here.
Okay.
December 1, I said 3.4.
Okay.
Would that be your high watermark?
That'll be. But I mean, that was the.
You actually have a target number you're shooting for?
Four million.
For this year, but beyond that.
Where do you want to be 5 years from now?
Five million is what we.
In 5 years? Mm-hmm. That's it?
Mm-hmm. I don't.
You want to be a slow grower?
That's fine.
But I'm not trying to take the world over.
That's fine.
I just want to make. Yeah. If I can have, I'd like this market. I'm not trying to move to Charlotte. I don't want to go to Charlotte, but I'd really rather not.
So it's a controlled growth mode for the next 3 to 5 years.
I'd rather just be
profitable. I just heard this theme about saying the same things over. And I don't know, maybe that's a reflective of a slow growth mode. I mean, I don't know how you control growth to meet your needs perfectly. I almost think it's impossible. So you're either contracting or expanding. If you try to control your growth to 3% or 2.5%, I bet you're contracting.
I'm not really. I have to go. But I'm actively out calling architects. I'm actively out. We've got this new product line. If that takes off, which I expect it to really be a huge segment of our business, I mean, that isn't even really reflective of what we're doing. The market was shrinking there for a while. It's finally expanding, has been expanding in the past, you know, 6-7 months.
So what if it does take off? All of a sudden you get a chance to do 7 million in revenues. Do you go, no, I don't want to do 7 million in revenues?
No, we'll be growing with it.
I think this is a really interesting conversation.
This doesn't seem to be a
I don't know how you do
plan.
It. Yeah, it seems like it's like putting your foot on the accelerator and the brake at the same time. You feel like you get a little growth. Preparing for that type of growth to double, you could. Something could pop. You got a lot of interesting stuff going on. Mm-hmm. It seems like if you put any kind of energy in any one of them, you could double your revenue.
Well, my least interest, or least profitable, is residential, unless it's large residential. So we only do that to fill in the gaps, and we only do it to sell, you know, and kind of do it as we go along.
Because it sounds like you do just enough. And like,
well, we've been in the best market in the past year and a half, 2 years. I mean, we've been in a flat market for us. The only spending was municipal. Homeowners were spending the past 2 years.
Yeah.
That's it.
But the public money's been kicking in.
Yeah. And
starting this year for the contract.
A little bit of public money. I mean, the university or institutional was it. I mean, the developers weren't spending squat.
I don't know. Is it me hearing it, or I need some help?
I have two statements or a couple of questions. One is, how do you feel about marketing yourself? Who's doing the marketing in your company right now?
Probably my sister, I would say. I market to the architect.
I'm talking about who's doing, you know, the forecasting, the planning, you know.
We aren't doing any. Forecast. Other than we look at what's being, we go kind of by the bid, how things are bid.
But you don't look 12 months in advance, 3 years in advance.
You don't have a plan of identifying customers, where you're going to go, where you're going to try to go after it, so much here, so much there. There's none of that being planned.
We have focused on the municipal work. That has been my focus the past 6 months, and from lead basically. The past 6 months is focused on bid work and municipal work. We tend to thrive in that market.
What percentage of the bid work do you say you're getting?
I don't know the exact percentage right now. But I said it's pretty high. what's been is very pretty high. And I only have started that report.
She gets it.
Isn't true that basically Debbie goes works aggressively with a group of contractors she used to work with.
Yes.
She's not really going to new ones.
No, we go to new ones.
But they don't get the same attention as the ones that she's used to working with. Would that
well,
be a correct
statement?
Well,
if they're on a bid list, they're all the same. If it's on a bid list, if the building's bid and it goes out, and you're a general contractor on that bid list, we go there. If we find out that, we'll go to them. If they're awarded a job, somebody's awarded a job, and we didn't give them a price, we go to them.
But my question is, if there is no bid list, or there is no contractor on a bid list, does someone still go out and visit that contractor?
As a making a sales call, no. I go to the architect, so that the architect tells me. I'll usually go to the architect.
Architect keeps bid list.
That's who I go to.
It sounds to me that you could probably grow almost as much as you want by putting a plan together, by deciding who's going where you're going to where someone will concentrate their time.
Well, let me just ask you this:
hiring up people.
Am I hearing that maybe then, I guess I'm hearing, since I don't have time to do that, nobody in my organization has time to do that, we need to hire a salesperson. I think your sister's really holding you back.
No, I'm not saying that. We're not saying what you just said. We're just saying that if it sounds like you're making enough money to try another estimator salesman.
Okay.
And send him out and see what he does.
Okay.
That's all we're saying.
Estimator salesman.
But I also
work 6 months, move on. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. Go get some new business.
But before you do that, if you just, I think there's a plan that's missing somewhere.
Yeah.
There's a plan that says, and Fred, I have to say this, not everybody's capable of putting the plan together.
No, that's fine.
Okay, right, exactly. So that does, you shouldn't feel any better or worse for that. You probably need someone that not only will go out and do sales, but someone that can put a plan together with you and your sister that says, here's the market, this is where we want to go, these are the five key names in each market, and here's who we're going to go get. And if one of the names falls off the map, here's another five names that we're going to... I mean, it's a plan that has to be done.
Let me just make a question. Ask a question on the plan. I think plan's an excellent idea. And I think, here's what I need just to understand the truth on the growth model here. That, I hear wonderful opportunities. To me, it sounds, it's pretty clear. You've been in this group long enough to know that there's all these things you could do to implement a plan and execute and hire some folks you need to do. Are you fearful of growth? Or rapid growth?
Rapid growth?
Yes.
Probably fearful of the word rapid growth because I'm not interested in it and getting myself hung out for a lot of money. You know, if it takes a lot of money.
I've got to spend a lot of money. That is a great comment. I appreciate you sharing that because I get a sense there's resistance. When I hear you talk, you got all these wonderful things, and it's almost like scared to succeed because your life can change rapidly if you go after it. But you said if he sets a plan and he goes after it, you have that in my mind, you can be successful. All of a sudden, you're working, you're hiring more people, there's more expenses behind it, there's more risk behind it. And my sense with you and my relationship, Tony, that I don't think that's what you're buying into. I don't think that's important to you. I think there's a lifestyle thing that you want to create here. And I hear these ideas, and there's just resistance to it. I don't know why you even talk about it. Maybe there's another model here that we should be talking about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think there's a comfort zone thing there that
just feels that way.
Yeah.
There is a comfort zone, but it's probably a thing that I'm not sure how to get to the other.
How'd you pick that $5 million mark?
Yeah. That's great. I mean, you're
being frank, and I'm being honest, which is great. This is the only way we can get through this stuff.
I appreciate that.
Well, I do think that's attainable in the market, but I believe the paper market here is, I only believe it's so big. So in order to grow that market, I set out, my plan was that I would call and make more sales calls myself. That's a hire a project manager, that I would go out and make more sales calls to architects. And as the permeable pavement market grows, that will turn me into calling on engineers. That has turned out to be extremely successful for me. Yeah. I have grown my market. I've grown my share of the market. And I'm getting more business because of it.
I think it's one.
That is true. That is a true.
Is your sister tapped out? She do capacity.
Yep, I'm sure she is.
Well, I'm sorry. I should.
Well, I'd love to hear that.
You're gonna go to that 5 million? Is she gonna do it? I mean, is she gonna estimate all the work? I mean, I don't know. It may be easy to estimate.
We get hired from within to bring someone up.
What I'm saying is, what can she sell a year? What can she earn you in revenue a year as an estimator?
I've never.
Isn't she doing most of it now?
Yeah.
She's doing it all?
She's doing it all. She's the only one.
Okay, I know that. Well, then that means she's doing $3 million a year.
As far as the
can she do four? That's what I'm asking.
Does she have time?
A lot has to do with the size of the jobs that we do. I mean, let me
yes or no, please.
Yeah.
It is a hard. It's a hard question. It's a hard.
I'm just trying to follow. Well, yes, because the job. We've had more $400,000 jobs or $200,000 jobs this year than we've had.
Yes or no?
Yes. She can do more.
Okay. How much? And I don't remember profit last year. Do you think? What did the company end up? $300,000, $400,000?
What you said? It was less than that.
It was.
What would you think?
$242,000.
Would you be willing to take $70,000 plus the salary plus benefits or $75,000 and risk that and get you another estimator, put them out there and see what they'll do?
Yes.
That's your risk. Just let them go after that.
And it's not really $70,000 because
I'm
you guess you no you no it is $70,000 on a yearly basis.
That's right.
You know you're not paying $70,000 the first day.
Right.
So if you try it out, if you consider 6 months, if you say okay, I'm going to allocate 6 months, then that number gets cut in half. And that 6 months should be enough time to say he's going to work out or not work out. If he doesn't work out, he's not going to be happy, and you're not going to be happy. So that's the end of it. But I have excuse me 1 second. You have $937,000 in accounts receivable. That would make me more uncomfortable than anything we talked about, because that's 1/3 of your annual less 12-month revenue.
It has been talked about.
No, I know we talked about it, but you also just said. You just said something that, I don't know how many picked up on it, but the question was the risk factor. And you said, I am not willing, if it's going to cost me that much money, I'm not willing to risk. Well,
one thing
at this rate, if you go to $6 million, you're going to have $2 million in receivables.
Let me tell you, that number may look, I have billings on it. These were bills that were finished up yesterday afternoon. I mean, we build.
So not all of it.
We built almost 400,000 yesterday.
Great, wonderful.
And this is also from last month where we also billed 400,000. So 800,000.
Okay, but your receivables are over 60 days. Is that your terms?
Yeah, we can't collect it in that time. We can't get it in.
No, are your terms? Are your terms net 60?
And also the other thing is retain it. There's some retain.
What is your average day sales?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, you can see it's like 60. Yeah. Your customers net 60 days.
No, they're 30 days from the end of the month.
So why can't you collect?
Because they're contractors.
They're contractors. It doesn't. You don't understand the contract. I can tell because a lot of this we bill. I mean, some of this money's due right now.
The contractor has
yeah.
to submit a payment for his last 30's work. He's not going to get paid for another 30 days. So it's 60 days typically before he submits.
Yeah, I can't. They won't.
So why? So you necessarily. So then, you're kidding yourself with that 30-day terms.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
By law, they have to pay you whether they get paid or not. They do try to wait.
Yeah, they
would. Now, we have the same thing. When we call for money, they'll say, well, we haven't gotten paid from the hospital. We haven't gotten paid from the school. We tell them that's your problem.
Yeah, that's and I try. You can do that. We've got a bond, a claim against a bond, which is small right now. We have one job that the customer is not paying, which is about another $55,000, $60,000.
And I agree because I'm in this business, but the problem where I'm going to agree with him a little bit, and this is against my own self here, is that we have thought that so much that we forget to ask.
Well, let me tell you something. It is not a
we
problem.
We don't even ask.
It is not
we
a problem.
We should be asked.
It is not a problem. I wish I had brought my AR report. I'd go over it with you. But I'm telling you, it is pretty. That's the one call that I'll make. I have no problem calling and asking for my money. And it is not that bad. It may appear bad here, but
you're just actually seeing billings that occurred
most
yesterday.
Most of it's in the last 30, 60 days.
And that's when we made our money. That's when we started making our money. Now, if it doesn't come down next month,
when would that start causing you the cash flow problem if they sat on that money for too long?
Now? I mean, we're already...
That's another reason you need a much bigger credit line than you've got.
Yeah, you need
it. Yeah, that's right.
Get as much as you can get.
So let's move on. Yeah. What I want to say here, I think we spent a lot of energy trying to make Fed non-Fed. There's no point doing that.
Amen.
Well, when you're in the hot seat, you kind of get a little defensive.
I don't think that's true. No, I think a lot of it happened, Fred. We know you. I read it two or three times. The best help we can provide you is to help you achieve your objectives with greater clarity and more tracking. Helping making your business $10 million, that's not the right thing for us to do. Okay, what's right for us to do is to help either you yourself create a plan, or you create a plan with the help of an advisor, consultant, or some other entity, and bring that plan to Tech488.
Why can't we provide him with that?
There are standard strategic planning processes. A good consultant may cost you $5,000 to $10,000.
Why can we help this group? Why could this group help?
Let me finish and you'll understand what I was trying to say.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, number one, he gets a plan made. I don't think Fred will be able to create a plan yourself. I think if professionals help, no more than $10,000 will help you create a good plan. You bring that plan and we can critique that plan. We're not strategic planners here ourselves. So I think we need to hire a professional, create a plan, 3-year plan that helps you get to $5-6 million level that you're looking for. Good profitability, that's what you're looking for. You want a strategy that is more that covers for a financial risk. And a strategic planner can do that. There are different kinds of ways to get there. But having that clarity, then you track it month to month. Then you stop worrying about residential, should I do Home Depot, nonsense. You just do whatever that plan says and execute it month by month.
Okay, I'm just gonna listen. I don't want to keep commenting.
I would offer you my help in sending you an email, asking you some questions about customers and categories of product and areas. And I would think that I could help you with a business plan for the next 5 years with a 20% increase of every year over the next 5 years. And then once you have the plan and you agree on the plan, then we'll figure out if we need another person or two to implement it. And you'll go from there. I would offer you my help in that.
And I would accept.
Because I want to say you bring up various strategic directions, residential, permanent pavements, stamped concrete, there have been others, I think, and this would come out of this plan. Pick, focus on a few, one more, zero more, I don't know, but it's not always. Make the decision and put the effort into those segments you decide to go after. And part of the planning can be, can we get to the size we want without adding any segments? If so, don't add it.
Okay.
If it takes one more, then add one more.
Okay.
If it takes two or three more, then you got to ask whether you can really do it.
Okay.
No, that's a great point. I mean, that's the sense I've gotten, kind of like a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things going on out here, and I always hear these things like, well, I'm kind of pursuing this, and this is a good idea, and that sounds like we really do make a lot of money here, and this is really growing here. But I don't hear, like, let's jump in there and make it happen.
It's not really quite as you it's not really quite like that.
Okay, well,
And I was letting you all go that direction a little bit because what the focus was, this group has a hard time seeing, maybe Lou doesn't, but has a hard time seeing. Everybody thinks of pavers, oh, they're in my driveway. Aren't they pretty? They look nice. We do not focus on trying to get residential driveways or patents. Well, I say that and then I'll backtrack because I do send out an advertising piece.
So five or six references to it in this report.
I think we need to know the commercial market. Forget the residential market.
Right.
I ain't talking about the residential market. I'm only talking about the commercial market. I need to know how much commercial work's out there in pavers. I don't know. I can tell you in drywall, but I don't know in pavers. And I just think that you can do $6 million a year if that's what you want. Don't do it if you don't want to.
Well, I could do $6 million if I wanted to get more to Charlotte.
No, I'm saying
I don't think this market has it.
Well, you need to find that. Because this is what my sales manager, Matt Chess, said the same thing to me. We are covering the market, and I find contractors all the time that we ain't doing no work with.
See, I don't, and I'm out there. I don't.
Do you do work with Steel Dynamics?
They don't do papers. I don't think they have any. I've never. I have talked.
I didn't. I'm just saying.
I've talked to them.
I won't make this one.
So
I do. You don't know.
Yeah, I do their work. They just went with Valley
Crest. I want to try a different direction for a while. Somebody mentioned, you say oftentimes, and you've said it a couple times now, I don't have time. So I'd like to talk about your use of time, I guess. I know it's an important topic. I don't know quite how to. It seems like that's behind a lot of this.
How do you look at your week or the next day? Do you come in and what hits you is what you do, or do you have a list of the six important things.
And by the time I got ready to go down that list, I had more phone calls, more things coming in.
So your reactionary.
But it had improved considerably after Mike's gone. I mean, it was really going well.
So what's it doing?
And then I started having some problems, I feel as though, with my project manager. And also, our workload increased dramatically. We'd had more people. I also had one less person in the office. I think you came by and I had to hire somebody for in the office. Or to meet, you know, we were all suffering too much to do. We couldn't do our jobs, so we hired somebody new. I have done that, and I have felt a little overwhelmed here in the past 2 months, more so than the past 2 months. But I don't think I felt that way during the winter months this year.
But and therein is why he's not interested in doing 6 million a year.
Yeah,
I'm overwhelmed with 3. I know I'm not gonna do 6.
I agree.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, I agree with that. Do you feel like you're alone at work?
Oh, no, not like they used to. That's better, much, much better. It was a year ago at this time. Or maybe I'd say a year and a half ago at this time. Much better.
We are not overwhelmed with doing 5 million in 5 years from now.
Well, one thing has to do with this 5 million. You guys don't realize the price of my jobs, where the average price dropped dramatically. So that meant in order to even get that 3 million, I was doing a third more jobs to get it. Right now, we're able to do larger jobs.
Yeah.
And so my average sale is higher. Yeah, I don't know exactly what it is, but
why they dropped is because there was
no work out there. So what we retreat to the residential market. We retreated because that's where people were spending money. Interest rates were low. People are making home improvements.
The quantity went up by threefold, but you're still the volume is the same.
The volume was the same. We were doing more work, less volume. It was actually higher, it was a higher cost of work, or higher. It was more expensive to do that work.
When you look ahead, it seems like it. I guess it's more of a statement than a question, that you're saying, okay, Debbie and I, still have a life, kind of grow this much, and that's 5 million. Is that a fair way of how you look at it?
That's really not, and I don't. I think because if we could do whatever 5 million, if we could do all $400,000 jobs, we would have fewer jobs. I'm going to assume it would be less headache. Maybe that might not be necessarily the case, but if we had more jobs, sizable jobs that were larger in volume,
what's your average size job?
Right, that's what I just said. I don't know exactly what it is. It's come up from last year. It was like it had dropped below $20,000.
Brad, I really don't want you. I don't know. You may be right. There may be only $3 million there. So don't take what we're saying, or at least what I'm saying, or what we're all saying, as that we're just hounding you because you're not doing $6 million. I don't care if you ever do $6 million. Matter of fact, you might not want to do $6 million. You may make more money doing $3 million than going to the beach half time, and heck with all this stuff. Why even have more trouble? So I'm not telling you to do $6 million. I just was wanting to ask these questions so that you can go back and ask yourself these questions. How big is this market? You know, am I hitting all the contractors? You know, and maybe what you said here, add another part of mine.
You've asked me that before, Brian, and I think probably I haven't answered your question. So maybe I need to go back and try to answer bring that answer to you.
And that's all I'm saying. You need that clarity. You say being a hardscape company with one focused growth area being this percolated pavement. Tell me precisely, I have 57% market share. I want to grow 57% to 65% by doing X and A, B, C. for this period of time. That's the clarity you need.
Well, the permeable pavement market right now is virtually
nothing, non-existent. Yeah.
So we think we can grow 100% with that.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is more precision and clarity on that plan. That's all.
I think what I struggle with is that the mind and the heart, I don't feel are in alignment, and then I listen to your words, and I read it, and your actions don't reflect the words I see. At least that's my impression. So that's why I ask myself, well, maybe there's this goal out here that really you don't really want to pursue, and maybe somehow you think you should, but who really gives a damn about that? I liked your comment. You know, Fred, you are who you are, and you know, I just don't know if I see the alignment. And I see the little bit of a disconnect.
You mean what disconnect?
What disconnect?
I want to see if I can say yes. No, I mean what I see is you know, the fact you want to grow, you got all these opportunities, and but then I don't see really the action. I mean the stuff that the questions are asking are stuff like you should know, and you don't really know it. Like you know, Brad was saying, you know, before you want something, you have to figure out what you want, and then before you want, you have to figure out what you have. And these questions are, what do you have? What's your market share? What's all this? These questions? What's your job average? That stuff to me seems really...
Well, I just don't remember it right now.
That's okay. I'm just telling you that's just my feel on what I'm seeing. So,
well, let me say
this. I'm trying to connect the dots, me personally. And I just got some disconnect.
On this topic, I think I have to offer my opinion. I think gap is in our interpretation.
Gap?
The gap that you're perceiving, that is in your interpretation, not in the document.
Okay, it helps me that I have, other than you saying something, you're saying something, or you said something, but it's just my impression.
Yeah.
If everybody in the room said, Anthony, you're off base, I'd say, fine, great, thank you.
I'm in line with you. You know, here's a statement. I plan to develop the residential side of our business, yet we hear him say he only does that in order to...
I updated this thing from last one, and I probably should have canned that. We still have an advertising plan that's going after a retrofit market, and I don't want to lose certain general contractors that we do work for in that market, and for residential people. So we're still actively advertising in that market. Yeah. So it is growing. It is growing.
Residential something will be more interesting when business is low.
That's right. It really is.
Fred, I have a question that I don't believe has been asked. Why do you want to grow?
Why do I want to grow?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. If I don't grow, I will lose market share.
From who?
Pardon?
From who?
We've had several competitors move in the area. I have a company out of Charlotte that's currently in here. We have several. We're selling more material to some of our competition now. We've started because we buy a very good volume.
So become a distributor.
I am.
That's good.
I actually brought my pack. Two companies that we carry their line. So I brought.
You know what else can get it?
I won't say they can't get it, but they'll go extract. They're going to be told to buy from us first.
It's even better. Go to that architect and get that product line spec.
Right. That's what he's doing. And
anyway,
you give the architect two other equals that are less price, right? I mean, more price, right?
Yeah. Most of them, if they ask, we definitely help
them. You don't give it to them even if they don't ask. You give three equals, and yours is the cheapest of the three.
If I told you today that you're going to continue to do your $3 million, $3.2 million every year, and make the profits that you make, would you be even thinking about growing?
My expectations are that I will grow, and I'll tell you why. I mean, my permeable interlocking concrete pavements, that market is much larger, and the jobs have been larger.
No, but my question is, would you consider growing?
Oh, would I consider?
Would you have to? Would you feel the same way?
If you can guarantee this.
If I could make $300,000 a year,
guaranteed.
If you make the things stay the same,
that grow.
Would you be happy and not be concerned about hiring another person, making a marketing plan?
You know, y'all asked me this before, and that is not me. I would not be happy.
See, that's the disconnect I'm seeing. That's our problem. That's not his problem. He's asking very clear questions. And if I were to draw what he's asking, and Fred look at me very carefully, this is one market segment you do very well. This is commercial hardscape. I don't know your business, so I may be off base. Okay, this is, and you say more than 50% market share in this one, right?
Yes.
You have a little thing, but you expect this thing to grow. This is the permeable PICS, right? Right?
Yes.
And all this is the triangle area, geographically, right? Questions you're asking is, the same markets exist outside triangle.
And we keep putting that foot.
That's right. And then there's a third box, which is residential, which you are not happy doing, you have to do. All you need is a confidence from your board that you're okay withdrawing from this, focusing on this, keep increasing this. You're entrenched here.
Your moment.
And you stay strong in that.
Yeah, I feel like I've spent a lot of time trying to tell you that.
That's exactly right. So that's what I'm saying. You just need clarity from us.
Right.
And that clarity I'm saying is, you just like Mike's card gave you clarity. I'm saying this kind of a business plan will give you clarity. Clarity is you define this market segment very clearly. Say this is this many million dollars in triangle area. Define it precisely for people like Brian and Lou who understand this marketplace. And say I have X percent of this. In more precise terms. And say I want to keep growing it. And you track it. Because that's the area you don't want to lose. Right? Whether you go to 10 or 5, or that doesn't matter. You want to be the king of this market segment, right?
That's right.
And then you have your plan.
That's right.
And you track to that plan.
That's right. And as our market
that's
grows,
your performance indicator.
I believe we will grow with the market, the share that grows here. So yes, I won't continue growing.
So when the permeable market breaks loose for you, you're saying goodbye to the commercial business. The residential business. You're saying goodbye to that.
Yeah, I don't want to leave it all together. There's a part of the residential market
that'll actually have
large builders.
That'll actually connect
here too. So that's going to connect in there.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good. I like that.
He'll have a niche in the residential.
That's what we are, a niche, and that's a good. Niche company.
Yeah, and see, Fred, stop saying residential. You're not in the residential market. You have to do it. Temporarily.
I do it to make
you are in this market and you want to stay king of this market
and
you want to grow this. And in this market is not divided as commercial or residential. This is just a market, PICS market or permeable surface market. And those are the only two markets that
you serve. Is that all in the PICS market here, but market share you're looking to capture?
No, because I don't know how large that's going to be. And the lots could be some of the regulatory. I don't know how much credit they'll give us for being in the clay.
Because the comment you made
clay soils.
About market share, about how can you grow and not lose, you're afraid of losing market share if you can grow. The comment is, can you still maintain no growth and still have market share?
No, can I have no growth and maintain?
Flat growth, neutral growth, and still have market share.
It depends on how big that circle is.
It's growing because I believe in the municipality market. Particularly with the bond referendum is growing, and then there's going to be another bond referendum, hopefully, that'll pass after that.
Is there a percent of the market you would like to capture, or is it more just more of a revenue side, or a percent of the market you like to have 10% of the market because you think that gives you enough flavor in the market to stay in it and be active in it, but you don't really want 50% of the market, you want to be diversified in different sectors. Is there any method behind how much market share you would like?
I have no method.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not fine with
say
this conversation.
I'm
just
that,
have a lot of
I only
questions.
Want that that's profitable.
Huh?
I only want that that's profitable.
What do we need to talk about that we have in this?
Well, I think Fred wants feedback on this project manager situation.
Yeah, I've got some questions at the end. I've been in a situation, and it's with a residential customer, the project manager in this case. I felt like he basically took the job, he bid the job, and he told the customer, it was actually some stone, this was stone, and it was going fast. We were laying flagstone, and the job is very good, seems to be no problems with quality. But he told the customer that some materials were going to arrive at a certain date. Well, we had a problem, the supplier didn't deliver. So rather than tell the customer that the product, that it was a supplier problem, he took it upon himself to say, well, the products came in, they weren't right. He told them that the truck got lost. I don't know why he lied to the customer and really embarrassed us bad.
The owner calls me, you know, extremely upset. You know, this guy's, he's found out this guy's lied to me. He's lost all his credibility with me. I asked him why he said that. We were trying to get paid some money for the job. He told me he had picked up a check. I said, well, where's the money? And I guess he thought the check was going to show up in the mail or something. But he told me he picked the check up. I said, where's
the same
check?
Job?
Same job. Yeah, this was the same job. He picked up the check. And I said, the check never came. And I kept asking him, you said you picked it up? And finally, I just finally said, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I don't believe you picked this check up. And he goes, no, I didn't. I said, well, why did you lie to me? And I mean, I have to call the customer. Of course, I got a check after that. But I've had some problems with him not billing. I mean, just really, just totally caught me off guard. This guy's been going great for us. He had been doing very well, or so I thought. I think I just had the wool pulled over my eyes, and he still works for me, and he does okay. But because of the line that's going on, the ladies in the office have had a really huge credibility problem with him now. And of course, my sister found out about it, and she's about to hit the fan about it. She is just beside herself. So I'm trying to figure out if he can stay or whether he's got to go.
He's got to go.
He's got to go.
The only other option you got is he has to come in front of the entire office staff and apologize. He made a mistake. It will not happen again. Next time he is definitely terminated and build that credibility back. If not, he's gonna end up starting to steal from you because no one trusts him anyway.
What's the downside of doing that tomorrow?
I said let him go. But I'm just saying.
I mean, of course.
There's only two options here.
Exactly.
No, he's got to go.
Till you find somebody.
It's
going to
get worse.
Well, I don't have anybody right now. I don't. He's not a bad person. So I don't believe he's a bad person. I don't like being lied to like that.
Sure. Let me say that's just the ones you called him in too, bud.
Well, I'm saying that, Adrian. I think you're right. To be honest.
In our own beloved leader's words. It's a career buster. That's what Bill called.
And the grounds that you say is because he lied.
Because you'll never. It's like you're never going to be able to trust him again.
Yes, sir.
So never will have 100% trust again.
It wasn't one lie. I mean, he said he lied to you. I mean, it's a pattern here. You don't just change that.
Well, let me play the devil's advocate to see what happens. It always about one incident. Hey, no. And that, you know, here's a young kid, big ego, you know, trying to not get caught. So maybe he's not a pattern. Maybe he's a young kid who could be influenced, catch the mistake, learn from it, come out of it.
How old is he?
25. Mm-hmm. 26.
But he lied to the customer and lied to you.
Well, it was all one lie, right? Kind of it was all integrated. Yeah.
Actually, the lie for the check, actually, after we had confronted him on one, it actually was coming in, you know, then the next one. I mean, you know, this, I have to say it that way. He lied after we caught him on the same thing. Yeah.
Why would a guy say that he had picked up a check when he would know that he's going to get caught?
Did you ask him?
I didn't ask him.
You did ask him?
I did ask
him. What did he say?
He just didn't really have an answer.
Yeah.
See, I...
That's
how I'm lying. Just tell them
what's
going on.
Yeah, Bill, I'll counter that. This is a habit. This is not a one-time thing. It's not a guy got carried away. I think these habits are formed early in the childhood. I don't think you can fix it.
I agree. But I think what you can help them is you tell them like it is and say, here's because of your behavior, and here's the consequences, and hopefully he learns from it.
Well, Bill and I have the one-to-one since then. So I did have Bill even asked me again the other day if I had had my talk with Eric, and I said that I had, and I guess I put the question back in here because I'm questioning should I go ahead and let him go. I feel like I need his help, but I'm afraid I could probably get my credibility back, but I'm not sure the rest of the people in the office are.
And you lose respect too.
Yeah.
Right. So how'd you leave when you talked to? You said you did talk to his name's Eric.
As Bill and I said, we had a fatherly talk.
And how did he respond to it?
He responded very positively. He knew what he did was wrong. He knew it. He he wanted
said all the right things.
He said all the right things, but what he wanted to do, he was not, he knew he had done wrong, but he was trying to make things better. He wanted the customer, he didn't know he was getting, it was a special order product. He didn't know that the customer, the supplier in this case really messed up. So he took some of the blame and heat for it by not telling the whole truth. I still wasn't clear on why he didn't tell me he had picked up this check. I could not figure that one out.
Yeah, see, I want to get real clear. I mean, keep probing until you see an answer.
Was he hired? How long has he been hired?
It's been almost 2 years.
And where was he working before?
He came from McGee Brothers out of Charlotte.
You ever talk to them? Would it be worth call those guys up and say, did you ever have a situation with them?
The type of position that he is, what it was in, I wouldn't think. I didn't.
I called the supervisor. Okay, great.
I mean, I don't know if you want to give him a second. I mean, but I'm kind of. I wouldn't change that.
You don't have time to do your own work. You don't have time to babysit him.
Yeah. No, I just.
All right. You sat him down. Then, the greatest gift. Hey, he's a young guy. He'll find employment elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So by you delivering a clean, clear message, he's going to understand, and then there's the consequences. So.
And I'm going to say, I like this guy.
That's probably a better gift you can do than trying to keep
him. I'm trying to give him a chance because I like him.
But by giving him a chance or letting him loose on the same thing, could be reflected the same thing. I'd say the better thing is let go. He learns a harder lesson. He's better for it in life.
And who else in your staff sees you keep him, retain him after being caught lies? And they go, what can I do?
Well, I can get away with one or two lies or three lies. And I guess they'll keep you around.
You got two options, which the first one I agree with probably should. I don't know the whole situation. I don't think any of us do either, but you should let him go. The second option is that you talk with him, and he thinks you're letting him go, and you decide to give him a second chance. I'm saying if you do, I'd bring my entire office staff together, and I would call them in and say, look, this is what's happened. He's come to me begging for his job. He said it's a big mistake. He said it's never going to happen again. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that would be pretty.
And if they say yes, keep him. He should never be mentioned from that day forward ever again, and it's good.
I like that idea.
If they say he goes, he goes. Let them make the decision, because I'm telling you, if you make the decision and they think it's a bad decision, she's right. You're going to have problems.
Be very careful. I wouldn't do it as an open vote, because that's unfair. You just say, listen, he said he's sorry. We're going to go back and talk about it and deliberate or whatever, and we'll let you know the verdict. I would not put a position. Do you think he's in or out? In or out? That would be.
Or he in front of everybody needs to apologize to everybody.
Yes, he should. Absolutely.
I think that's a great idea, too, because it's somewhat of an ego thing with him. I mean, he's going around and we'd let the air out of his back a little bit.
Right.
I think it's a great idea. If he won't do it, then it gives you
a reason. This is a good to great lesson. We always, managers, we think if you do just take this action, this behavior will be rectified. Lesson will be learned. And that's why this fire quickly has to be seen again and again and again.
But Shelley, if you do that, first of all, you have the guts to do it. You're going to catch him one time, he's gone. But you got to back that up. And you're right. He'll find a way to do it within a week. Yeah. His pattern will come. But you got to be prepared to just say, boom, that's it. But I like the fact that you get him to apologize to the employee. Let the employees understand. Give them some ownership in this thing. And then they all say, you know what? We think it's best to leave. Okay, I'll respect it. And they'll respect you for respecting their decision.
And even talk to them about it.
Yeah.
In a strong group.
You just build that. That's a great team building opportunity.
They tell him that individually, out of sight of Eric?
No, about what?
No, Eric's been around.
The employee's telling him.
No, he needs to apologize to the employee.
Yeah.
And, basically he's asking, should I think the verdict is, am I going to be here or not? Employees, they don't seem to say anything then, but they need to go back and make a decision.
Okay.
But the way I was thinking about it is that, that would happen. But he would actually talk to the employees, not a whole lot of, as a group without Eric.
Yeah.
And tell them the whole story and say, guys,
they know.
What do you think?
But let Eric apologize to the group.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you're going to let him stay if the group says good. I'll throw out my opinion. I think you should fire him and then explain to the group why you did it.
Exactly right. I support that. I support that 100%.
They need to understand he got a lot of customers and he lied to me and, difficult decision, but
that's an option. And my thing is, this is a great time to give your company, your folks, a chance to take ownership in this decision. And I think this guy's going to blow up anyways. And you just got to get rid of the guy. He'll blow up without a week or two. But
he is. So why
it's been a while.
Yeah, but I'm saying, my point is more, I use it as an opportunity to build as a company, team building exercise, a chance for them to take ownership, understand the process. They respect that you went through it.
Yeah.
You only know your, you could tell me my employees don't really care. And I'd say you're wasting your time. Yeah. Just go ahead and let it go.
Yeah, I'll tell you why I hesitate to go that route. We had an employee who at customer site went to pornographic websites. It was reported by customer. And we had a decision to make. We fired him.
Yeah.
But all his teammates came in to defend him.
To defend him?
Yeah. It's a one-time mistake. He learned, you know, this is a company value. And we let him go.
That was a policy of the company. If you're looking for, you're gone.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
What I'm saying is there's so much pressure on us to keep him. And we fired him. We lost revenue. We lost profitability. But that was the best decision we made in hindsight.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're kind of debating among yourselves. Fred's heard all the points. He has to make a decision.
Good luck, Fred.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
So,
Fred, you got to lock the right down off this
thing.
You say what?
He's got to lock the right down off of this.
Well, so.
You're going to make it start. What? Clean slate.
Yeah.
So.
You need to put that in the
room. Guys, so. You need to listen to the tape and come back next month. Actually, before next month, send it like we did, send ahead of time, answering three questions.
Before the night before.
Like before. Yeah. This isn't very long to write up. What did I learn? And it might, and by the way, it may not be anything anybody said in here. It's reflecting on it, it's listen to yourself, it's listen to the tape again. I don't know where that will go. What did I learn? What actions have I taken as a result? And three is, what else do I plan to do? I haven't done it yet. What else am I planning to do?